Chapman was known to say that she never lost a single passenger. The Civil War did not stop Tubman's bravery. She worked as a cook, a nurse, and even a spy for the Union Army. The renowned abolitionist Frederick Douglass wrote a letter for Tubman where he wrote, quote, "The midnight sky and the silent stars have been the witnesses of your devotion to freedom and of your heroism. The horrors of the slave labor system ended in the United States because of the courage of those like Harriet Tubman who risked their lives to stand up against injustice." Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Hey there, you're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, 91.1 and 107.1 FM here in Portland, 91.7 FM on the coast, that's Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, Rockaway Beach, and online everywhere at xray.fm. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Tom Hartman program today. We really appreciate you doing that and supporting X-Ray while you do. As you know, you listen to the Tom Hartman program every day. X-Ray is here in the middle of our spring pledge drive, and it's going well. It's going well. People are calling and hitting that donate button on the website to support the station. You can get in on all the action by doing the same thing. Go to the website while you're listening to the Tom Hartman program and hit that big blue donate button. You can also call the staff at 503-233-9729. It's 503-233-X-RAY. Pledge your support on the phone. Today is a great time to do it. Right now is a great time to do it because we have a match in play. That's right. If you give right now, your money is doubled. Up to $1,000. And we are on our way. We've got a few donations in already today, so it's not quite $1,000 left in the match, but plenty is still available. So if you like knowing that the Tom Hartman program is available for other people, call now and get that match. That means the money's doubled. We had a very generous donor offer $1,000, but only if we can raise it from the same amount of money from the community. So that can be you. If you can hear me, you are the community. And, you know, if you're a long-term listener to the Tom Hartman program, you know that X-Ray is the place that got Tom back on the air after KPOJ folded. We knew that it was an important voice to have on the air in his hometown here in Portland. So we took on that, took on the mantle and the endeavor to do that, along with all the other great music programming we have here on X-Ray. We know that Tom Hartman is a big reason why you tune in and why you support. So help us out. There's also, I should say before we go on to the next portion of my spiel here for you, I want to say a big thank you to Sharon, who gave in the last hour and supported the Tom Hartman program with a very generous gift. So Sharon's getting in on that match. If you give right now, you also get entered into the week two prize. That's right, we're in week two. It's the last week. There's a prize on the table, the One Moto Show Big Day Out. Support for X-Ray FM comes from the One Moto Show back at Zidell Yards May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Everyone who gives can be entered into a drawing for a weekend pass to the One Moto Show, along with a $100 gift certificate to use at the show or at the One Moto Cafe at 1642 Northeast Sandy. You can find out more information about the One Moto Show or the cafe at onemotopdx.com. But it takes place right there at Zidell Yards under kind of the Ross Island Bridge. You can see people jumping motorcycles. Maybe that could be you. Also, there's a grand prize. Any new or existing members that donate during the drive. So if you're already a Tom Hartman member of X-Ray because of the Tom Hartman program, you can call and make an additional donation to get entered into this grand prize. Anyone that it qualifies, so new or existing members that donate during the drive, can opt into a chance to win a free consultation and a half day of arborist services from Fairweather Tree Experts, serving the Northwest since 1982, specializing in total tree care, including pruning, trimming, fertilizing, removals, and storm damage. More information about them is at fairweathertree.com. We know, of course, that you don't give to community and public radio because of all the cool motorcycle stuff you could get. You give because you know and love the programming, and you want to make sure that it maintains itself to be available for everybody in the community. I think that's one of the coolest things about what we do, is that we give it away for free, really. And it's an accessible medium in a lot of ways. There's not a large barrier to entry to participate and consume the media that we produce. You know, you don't have to pay a $20 a month subscription fee in order to hear it. But it costs money to do. So if you do sign up to become a member, you're basically covering the subscription fee for the community. I think that's pretty cool. Little updates on the drive. I was hoping to have my numbers tallied by now, but other things happened. So I'll have some numbers tallied for you in the next break. We can know a little bit about exactly how well we're doing with this fun drive. But spoiler, we're doing well. So thank you for your support and to everyone who's helped us out so far. And if you've been waiting, now is the time. Head over to xray.fm. Pledge your support. Tom Hartman will be back in just a moment here on X-Ray FM.
Middle-aged Americans falling apart? Big question, right? A new review in Current Directions in Psychological Science, a peer-reviewed journal, uncovered something really deeply wrong with America specifically relative to other advanced democracies. Researchers at Arizona State, Brandeis, and two German universities tracked adults ages 50 to 65 across multiple countries. Americans in that group are lonelier, more depressed, and have worse memory and weaker grip strength than earlier generations. Meanwhile, folks that age in Northern Europe are actually getting healthier and happier. What's the difference? Well, Europe invests in families. You know, they have cash transfers, paid parental leave, subsidized childcare, stuff like that, you know, free college education. America doesn't. Healthcare here drains our bank accounts, bankrupts families. A half million families a year lose everything. Many become homeless because of medical expenses. Wages stagnate. Adult kids can't afford to leave home. Aging parents need care. Income inequality keeps climbing. This isn't fate. Other wealthy nations made different choices, and their middle-aged citizens are thriving. We can, too. This suffering is not inevitable. It just isn't. It's the result of policy choices that have been made mostly by the Republican Party, although, you know, some neoliberal Democrats have been going along with it, for the last 45 years. This is the result of the Reagan Revolution. Destroy the middle class in America. I mean, we used to have the best schools in the world. You could go to college for free or very, very cheap in the United States. You know, literally to the best schools in the world. We used to have some of the best hospitals in the world. We had great public schools. 45 years of Reagan-inspired gutting of these things so that they could transfer $70 trillion from you and me into the money bins of people like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg has brought us to this point. It's insane. Meanwhile, Donald Trump tries to pin a Medal of Honor on himself. Here's one for the history books. The Wall Street Journal says that Trump privately considered awarding himself the Medal of Honor, which is the highest military decoration that this country gives. This is a guy who took 5 draft deferments during Vietnam. He never wore a uniform. Insiders say Trump panicked in early April after a U.S. fighter jet was shot down over Iran. The big story about this in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. He literally screamed at aides for hours, obsessed over the 1979 hostage crisis in Iran, and blamed the Europeans. Oh, it's all NATO's fault. I'm brilliant. Gas prices averaged $4.09 that day. Then he mused about pinning his own chest with the nation's highest military honor. Officials say he sometimes loses focus, drifting off to talk about the White House ballroom while soldiers are dying. A draft dodger dreaming up a medal for himself? while the country burns? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is just so over the top. Finally, our geeky science. Could 2 minutes a day save your life? Really? This is some good news to, you know, end this block on. A new study in the European Heart Journal found that just 1 to 2 minutes a day of vigorous activity broken in short bursts lowers your risk of chronic disease and early death. Researchers call it VILPA, V-I-L-P-A, vigorous intermittent lifestyle physical activity. Sounds fancy. It's really just climbing stairs quickly, you know, when you're at home or at the office, carrying heavy groceries, hustling up a hill. It doesn't require a gym membership or a training plan. Just move with purpose. When you push harder, even briefly, your heart works, your muscles fire, and your mitochondria multiply, and that builds strength and resilience. The older we get, the more we need intensity, not less. Avoiding it only speeds the decline we dread. So take the stairs, walk faster. Your future self will thank you. Meanwhile, whole situation in Iran is continuing to fester and to get worse. Donald Trump, over the weekend, has threatened to basically destroy Iran. You know, he's back to this. I will destroy your entire country if you don't, you know, make me look good. If you don't show up for the peace talks. If you don't, go along. We want a deal. All right, the art of the deal. It's amazing. I'm missing the name of the guy who wrote the Tony. Anyway, he's been on our program. He's the actual ghostwriter for Art of the Deal, and how he kind of created this myth of Donald Trump, and then NBC took it and amplified it and trained him in how to be a reality TV star. And Trump is running the White House like a reality TV show. You know, let's have the suspense. And at the same time, he's using it as a massive grift to enrich himself and the people around him, which I'm going to get into in a couple of minutes. But, I mean, this is just absolutely wild stuff that the Trump administration has become so corrupt and is doing so much damage to America. It's just so wrong. It's coming up on 12 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with my thoughts on the insider trading and your calls after this. Stick around. It's the Tom Hartman Program, defending America from the weapons of mass deception.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Tony Schwartz was Trump's ghostwriter. It's amazing. He can't even write his own books. We'll be right back. And welcome back. By the way, The Onion is going to be taking over Alex Jones's InfoWars conspiracy site. It's pretty incredible. Anyway, to your calls. Susan in Caldwell, Idaho. Hey, Susan, what's on your mind today?
Based on our current fiasco in Iran, I wonder, did you happen to catch the CEO of Palantir's release of a 22-point manifesto that summarizes his recent book, The Technological Republic? It's just for everybody who doesn't want to spend money, I guess.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I read a summary of it in one of the Substack newsletters I subscribe to. It seemed kind of like techno-fascism.
22 points. You know, Hitler's was 25 when he put his out, right? Ending with, some cultures have produced vital advances, others remain dysfunctional and regressive. But the complaint is, all cultures are now equal. Criticism and value judgments are forbidden. Yet the dogma glosses over the fact that certain cultures are indeed subcultures. That was point 21. 22. We must resist the shallow temptation of a vacant and hollowed pluralism. That's the culminating point. The three of the points are whining about public figures being vulnerable to criticism and takedowns. Mm-hmm. 3 whole points out of the 22. It's really crazy. It's caused a lot of attention at 12 hours in after the thing came out, I guess. It's the longest Reddit conversation I've ever seen. Just saying, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for us to join with our Quaker friends who, and the American Friends Service Committee, who have started a campaign to get rid of Palantir, to get it out of our
public
life.
Yeah. It's,
that's right.
It's
yeah.
well embedded. I mean, you know, it's embedded now with not just the military, but I believe also with police departments.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
the State Department.
We know this. That's part of the plan. They talk about in this manifesto hard power. Mm-hmm. We have to project hard. We've been projecting hard power for 80 years, just that most Americans don't know about it.
Yeah.
It's out of our view.
Oh,
and
we've
this
been
is
projecting
how we started
hard power
with our
since
Iran
the Spanish-American
problem.
War.
Well, yeah, but just talking about the current issue, we have CIA took out a democratically elected government in Tehran in 1953, and we've been dealing with that ever since.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't know about it until 1976, and it's amazing to me. Oh, well, I'm glad you know about the Palantir thing. But I just want to say, our Quaker friends are at it again. Remember, our Quaker friends will help lead us out of the Vietnam quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all join with them, American Friends Services Committee. Let's purge Palantir out of our public life.
Palantir, by the way, is Peter Thiel's big
say
project.
What?
Palantir is Peter Thiel's big project.
Indeed.
So, and they basically know everything about everybody from what I'm reading. Susan, thank you for the call. Yeah, good one. Good catch. 16 minutes past the hour. That's the place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, Clarence Thomas lied about that one, too. We'll be right back. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Welcome back. 17 minutes past the hour. So the BBC just did an analysis of Donald Trump's proclamations that would move markets, you know, putting on tariffs, taking off tariffs, declaring war, declaring peace. And it's astonishing. There's clearly insider trading going on. Now, whether it's Don Jr. and friends, or whether it's Pete Hegseth and friends, or whether it's Donald Trump himself, because he thinks that he can't be prosecuted for any crimes he committed. Nobody knows who it is. And the administration, which has the ability to look into this and find out who it is not interested in finding out. But here's a couple of the examples that the BBC published on March 9th, 2026. The war is going completely, is very complete, pretty much. 9 days into the U.S.-Israel war with Iran, Trump told CBS News the war is, quote, very complete, pretty much. Well, at 6:29, oil bets surged. At 7:16, Trump said that. And at 7:17, oil dropped by 25%. So the market data shows a huge surge of bets were placed on the price of oil falling 47 minutes before Trump's post. On the 23rd of March, complete total resolution to hostilities. 14 minutes before the president's post, there was an unusually high number of bets on the U.S. oil price. The same pattern was seen in traders buying contracts for Brent crude. On April 9th, this is the so-called Liberation Day pause. On April 2nd, he announced Liberation Day and stock markets collapsed. A week later, he announced a pause and stock markets went up by 9.5%, the biggest jump since World War II. So here you have, at 6 p.m., traders started making huge bets on the stock market going up. Nobody knows who these traders are, but there was huge bets made. 18 minutes later, Trump announces the tariff pause. And the number of contracts, and of course, a minute after that, everybody's making a fortune. The number of contracts traded jumped over 10,000 per minute. A $2 million bet produced a $20 million profit. A bunch of senior Democrats in the Senate wrote to the Securities and Exchange Commission asking for an investigation. The Securities and Exchange Commission refuses to comment. On January 3rd, when we seized Maduro, this is fascinating. Blockchain-powered platforms such as Polymarket and Cashier give people the opportunity to speculate on this. Trump's son, Don Jr., is an investor in Polymarket, sits on its advisory board. He's also a strategic advisor to Kalshi. In December of 2025, one user, nobody knows who it is, created an account on Polymarket called Burdensome Mix. On December 30th, it placed its first bet on Maduro being out of office by the end of January. In other words, within the next 30 days. Between 30th of December and the 2nd of January, they placed a total of $32,500 on those bets, in bets on that. And they made a return of $436,000. Wow. 28 February, 2026, strikes on Iran. Six accounts were created in Polymark in the beginning of February. On the 28th of February, they won $1.2 million betting on the February 28th strikes against Iran. I mean, somebody clearly has insider trading information. This has been illegal since we passed the Securities Act of 1933. This has been illegal for nearly a century. And yet this criming is going on big time, apparently, with the blessings and help of the Trump administration. What the hell is going on? All right, what's on your mind today? George in Cripple Creek, Virginia. Hey, George, what's up?
Hey, Tommy, an interesting article in Pravda on Saturday by retired Russian Colonel Viktor Litovkin. And its secret coordinates, the Russian Ministry of Defense list, exposed NATO's rear, but businesses nullified the retaliation. In other words, the Ministry of Defense published a list of EU companies involved in making drone and component parts for Ukraine and a list of the companies and what they provided in London, Munich, Prague, Madrid, and Venice. And they say, EU nations are making sky-high profits and they're directly supporting these companies. And they say the EU doesn't have anything to fear from Russia so far because all they get from Russia is words and not deeds. And he's saying that Russia doesn't have to hit the facilities in the EU. All they have to do is hit the transit routes into Ukraine, meaning like railroad crossings on the border with Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Romania, tunnels in Carpathia, and road networks. And that would be enough. You know, they'll isolate Ukraine, and that'll be enough to deter the EU nations from further supplying Ukraine with, you know, weapons and drones, etc.
Parts to build drones.
But they did mention that the UK announced on April 15th that they're providing 120,000, you know, long-range strike drones, intel and reconnaissance, logistic drones, as part of a $500 million pound defense pact with Ukraine. So UK doesn't seem to be deterred. And Lavrov is saying even if the Russians did strike a target in the EU, NATO wouldn't respond because they fear the Russian nuclear retaliation. And the U.S. would only respond with increased calls for sanctions and diplomatic protests. So, interesting article. I think they're using him as a sounding board.
It sounds to me like a lot of articles on
military and industrial affairs. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I mean, you know, if Russia was to start striking those strategic transport points, frankly surprised they haven't up until now. I don't know. It would be such a significant escalation. Would that cause European countries to start airdropping stuff in and maybe even to start directly intervening in the conflict? Is that why Russia's held off on this for years?
I think so, yeah. I think if Russia hit the land routes, they'd, you know, more like the Berlin airdrift, try and supply them by aircraft. Okay. But then again, Russia would hit the airfields and all that.
Yeah. Well, you could, I suppose, airdrop things, you know, with parachutes, but amazing. Because, I mean, you know, Russia's going to...
Yeah, that's, you know, that's all right, but they... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say Russia is getting hammered by these Ukrainian drones, and in some cases very deep inside Russia.
Yeah, I know. I saw they're hitting oil facilities and transportation routes and armament production plants. Yeah, they're really getting Putin a bad bloody nose.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. So what's your assessment of this?
If UK gives them 120,000 long strike, long-range strike drones, etc., they'll even give them a bloodier nose.
So how do you think this is going to play out, George?
You know, since they just signed the contract last week, you know, they haven't arrived yet, but this is for the whole year of 2026.
Right. So how do you think this is going to play out, George?
Drones,
George,
I think if Ukraine continues to strike Russia, every day I get something, it's called the Ukrainian Report, and they list, so far Russia's suffered 1.2 million casualties and last week 1,000. If Russia continues to lose troops on that rate, Putin's either going, so far after 4 years, he hasn't produced a victory. And I think it's getting to the point where, the oligarchs and the defense industrial establishment will say, Putin's costing him too much, and he's going to fall out of a high-rise window or have a sudden plane crash or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, dictators can... They'll tolerate anything but failure, and so far Putin thought he'd have a cakewalk, and it's over 4 years, and he hasn't conquered Ukraine yet.
So the last time...
I think as long as the EU keeps...
It's funny, George. There's something funky in our telephone connection here. One of us seems to have a delay. And I'm hitting a break here, so I'm out of time. But I look forward to our conversations. George, thank you so much for the call. We'll be right back. It's 27 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program, the Drew People's Media. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Talk media for the rest of us. Right back with your calls. Snubs Trump's genocide threat. Gas prices gut the GOP. Vance eyes the 25th. Trump wants his own medal. Middle age cracks and 2 minutes saves lives. Good morning. This is the Commonwealth Report, news for the public, not the powerful. Sign up for free. AM and PM News at commonwealthreport.news. Iran tells Trump to shove it after a genocide threat. Iran isn't playing Trump's game anymore. After the president threatened Sunday to blow up the whole country of 90 million people if they don't sign a deal by Wednesday, Iranian officials said they won't negotiate with an erratic leader. One official said Trump, quote, lacks both a coherent plan and the capacity to secure even a temporary deal. Trump claimed Iranian negotiators were flying to Islamabad today to meet with J.D. Vance, Jared Kushner, and Steve Witkoff. Iran's state news agency called that a media game. Threatening to bomb civilians and demolish infrastructure is a genocidal threat from the United States president and a war crime. Just the threat is a war crime. 67% of Americans disapprove of Trump's handling of the war. When a president threatens mass murder to save face, which is a war crime, democracy itself hangs in the balance. Is the White House about to crash and burn? The panic inside Trump's inner circle is real. Politico reports strategists close to the president are terrified rising gas prices will wipe out Republicans come November. One source warned, quote, if we don't see the $3 gallon of gas, we're going to get killed. Since Trump launched the war on Iran in February 28th, the average gallon has jumped more than a dollar. That's the biggest monthly spike since tracking began in 1967 under Lyndon Johnson. Gas is now $4.05 a gallon nationwide. Trump's own energy secretary, Chris Wright, admitted Sunday that prices might not drop below $3 until 2027. Iran's partial closure of the Strait of Hormuz is choking off a fifth of the world's oil supplies. Working families are paying for Trump's war of choice. They're going to remember in November. Will Vance stab Trump in the back to save himself? J.D. Vance is cornered. The Guardian's Simon Tisdale writes, the vice president's poll numbers are cratering, and his 2028 hopes are crumbling. Tisdale calls Vance a, quote, crude opportunist, a self-proclaimed hillbilly peddling political moonshine, end quote. But Vance has one card left to play. Trump can't fire an elected vice president. Under the 25th Amendment, Vance could help fire Trump. A group of congressional Democrats wants him to join a commission that could do exactly that if Trump is judged unfit. Tisdale says Vance will bide his time, but Trump's Iran fiasco and unhinged behavior are eroding support. And that hurts Vance, too. Vance's lead over Marco Rubio for the 2028 nomination keeps slipping. When sycophants start plotting escape routes, the regime is rotting from the inside. Trump tries to pin a Medal of Honor on himself. Here's one for the history books. The Wall Street Journal reports Trump privately considered awarding himself the Medal of Honor, the highest military decoration this country gives. The man took 5 draft deferments during Vietnam. He never wore a uniform. Insiders say Trump panicked in early April after a U.S. fighter jet was shot down over Iran. He screamed at aides for hours, obsessed over the 1979 hostage crisis, and blamed the Europeans. Gas prices averaged $4.09 a day. Then he mused about pinning his own chest with the nation's highest military honor. Officials say he sometimes loses focus, drifting off to talk about the White House ballroom while soldiers die. A draft dodger dreaming up a medal for himself while the country burns? You can't make this stuff up. Why are middle-aged Americans falling apart? A new review in Current Directions in Psychological Science uncovered something deeply wrong in America. Researchers at Arizona State, Brandeis, and 2 German universities tracked adults aged 50 to 65 across multiple countries. Americans in that group are lonelier, more depressed, with worse memory and weaker grip strength than earlier generations. Meanwhile, folks that aged in Northern Europe are actually getting healthier and happier. What's the difference? Europe invests in families. Cash transfers, paid parental leave, subsidized child care. America doesn't. Healthcare here drains bank accounts. Wages stagnate. Adult kids can't afford to leave home. Aging parents need care. Income inequality keeps climbing. This isn't fate. Other wealthy nations made different choices, and their middle-aged citizens are thriving. We can, too. This suffering isn't inevitable. Could 2 minutes a day really save your life? Here's some really good news to end on. A new study from the European Heart Journal found that just 1 to 2 minutes a day of vigorous activity broken into short bursts lowers your risk of chronic disease and early death. Researchers called it VILPA, vigorous intermittent lifestyle physical activity. Sounds fancy. It's really just climbing stairs quickly, carrying heavy groceries, or hustling up a hill. Not a gym membership or a training plan, just moving with purpose. When you push harder, even briefly, your heart works, your muscles work briefly, and your mitochondria multiply. That builds strength and resilience. The older we get, the more we need intensity, not less. Avoiding it only speeds the decline we dread. So take the stairs, walk faster, your future self will thank you. And that's the way it is today, Monday, April 20th, 2026. I'm Tom Hartman.
Help.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio, and tag your it.
He said, tread very lightly.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. What's on your mind today? Caleb in Chicago. Hey, Caleb, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thank you for, again, taking my call. I hope you don't mind. I just want to give you a quick follow-up. I called the other day when Ro Khanna was on, and I brought something up, and I don't think he really got my what I was really saying. But I think today in the news, it's verifying what I'm seeing happening. I believe that there's a chess match being played by, you know, China, Russia. They're utilizing, you know, Trump, the useful idiot. But I really see a lot of what's happening in Iran, and also the manipulation that's happening with the stock market, revealing that the real fallacy that our markets really have. And as you know, this markets really, it has all about trust. So the combination of Trump manipulating the market to now, and this is what I called in for with Ro, was right now on our stock market, I think maybe now it's probably at $95 a barrel. When I called in the other day, it was at 90 because of manipulation. But the physical stock, the physical price of a barrel of oil is $160 if you actually look at it in Asia, in Europe.
If you want to go out and buy a barrel of oil. It's weird because if you want to actually buy oil in most of the world, it's wildly more expensive than if you simply want to bet on oil on the spot markets. I don't get it. What am I missing here, Caleb?
Exactly. But so this is no different than what's happening with metals, with silver, with gold. The real price of silver in China is pushing $130, you know, dollars an ounce, where we have a manipulated market that has it at $70 or $80, you know, dollars an ounce. And I believe what's happening is it's exposing the manipulation we have and the fallacy we have in the paper market. And I'll take it, this is where I'm leading to, is this morning the report came out that the UAE is basically asking America for a loan or a line of credit or something, because if we can't give them money, they can't keep buying oil because they don't have enough American dollars, and they're going to start buying it in the Chinese yuan. So yeah. I believe what's really happening here is this is a major push to show you can't trust the American dollar anymore. Decouple from the dollar, and then that way the BRICS, I think that's what it's called, they'll be able to have their alternative currency that they're really trying to push,
well,
and
China
to eliminate America
yuan
from this whole. Exactly.
Yeah. So the question in my mind, and this is just because I don't, you know enough about this to really know how this all works, is how is it, I mean, what's the mechanism by which spot markets, the you know, the buying and selling markets, because, I mean, if you buy an oil future for a week out or a month out or whatever, you eventually have to take delivery of that if you can't offload that, you know, that option. How is it that the markets are decoupled from the actual buying and selling that's literally going on right now?
It really gets complicated because what they do is they do margin calls. They raise the margin calls, and they also have cash settlements. So that's actually how they continue to manipulate the cash market.
But who's the they
the
here?
Physical market. Us. Our markets. Our paper markets.
Well, they assume some controlling force.
Well, it's the bankers. If we're talking specific to metals, I mean, I can really get into. You got a company, you got an investment firm called Jane Street, and they're literally buying and selling silver to manipulate the silver market in America, while in China, physical silver is almost double what we have here. The same thing is actually happening with oil, and as this gets exposed more and more through the world. The world will trust our markets, and they're beginning to trust our markets less and less and less. And then what happens is the great decoupling.
Right.
And I've told you about different things before, but I really see, and I hope I'm wrong, Tom, but I really see when all this comes to a head, we're going to have a real major crash coming.
Yeah, I have been feeling that, sensing that, saying that, in fact, for several years now. The circumstances are, and basically, you know, we get one every 80 years, and we're pretty much overdue. So I think you're right. And I think that China is sitting back with a big, you know, ear-to-ear grin. There was an interesting piece about this over the weekend in the Financial Times, you know, about how they're not, you know, people are wondering, why is China not actively involving itself in the conflict in the Middle East, other than providing targeting information and satellite information to the Iranian military? And the consensus opinion is that China is interested in a long game here, where they end up replacing the United States as the essential country, the essential protector, the essential nuclear umbrella, and the essential currency for the world, for the rest of the world.
And if I could add one quick thing, Tom, I don't know if you realize this, but China and also many other countries right now have been accumulating gold and metals at a high rate, especially China, because there is a digital currency that's coming out that they want to replace the dollar with. And I believe this is all a chess game that's happening, mainly from China, but Russia is also a pawn in this. And if I could leave you with one quick thing, because we talked about sickness and money. Mm-hmm. I was watching a quick thing on Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's old partner, just before he died. And this person interviewing him said, you know, when you became a millionaire, were you worried about losing money? He said, no, I was worried more about going crazy from being rich.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Going crazy from being rich is a real thing. Caleb,
yes, it is.
Thank you for that. Good talking to you. Susan in Saratoga Springs, New York. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Hey, long time no call.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling. What's up? What's on your mind?
Yeah. How's your beautiful wife, Louise?
She's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. I know. I love her music. Do you sell that music?
No, we don't. We don't even claim copyright over
That's
it.
So
if you want to download it from
really
our website
great.
And use it in any way you want, it's welcome. You're welcome to.
Yeah, well, I love that. I have a quick conversation with Caleb. I love that conversation. Definitely, mm-hmm. I agree the same. You know, I've been seeing that coming. We're going to have a crash.
Yeah.
Just like Woodrow Wilson.
Yep.
You know, with the Depression and how that happened, with tariffs and all.
Yeah. Well, that was
So I just wanted to leave
Hoover,
a few things.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, is it Hoover? Yeah.
Perfect.
But I wanted to say I'm part of Adirondack Indivisible. I live in the foothills of the Adirondacks, Saratoga mm-hmm. Springs, New York. And on May 1st, I learned this through them, of course, is the general strike day in the nation where I didn't know if you were aware of that. That's why I called.
I
for that.
Am. I will be wearing a black armband. In fact, I got it already on that day.
Oh.
Yeah, because I actually can't participate in the strike because I have to do a program. I've got all these contracts and things. You know, I've just got to be here. And I'd want to be here anyway because I'd like to publicize the strike. But for those people who have to work, you can buy these black armbands. They sell them for funerals, basically. And you can buy them online real easy. And here in the studio, we're all going to be wearing a black armband on May 1st.
Excellent. And also, I wanted to say, one of the things we're doing up here, which you'll find interesting, is there's these, excuse me, these little post-it notes that are printed, and you put them out wherever you go, if you're in a public restroom, men's room, you know, stall, and it's a picture of an eye, and it says, whatever you allow your government to do to others, they will eventually do to you.
Wow.
So it's part of indivisible.org.
That's
I'm in the Adirondack division.
That's
so, you know, I have people putting them out because I don't get out, so I take stacks of them, and I go, you know, just, if you're out in public, you know, stick it on a library billboard or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a way to make people think, because you really need to think. I actually have a sign outside my home with it. But
I've seen people do that with business cards, too.
Pardon me?
I've seen people do that with business cards, too. You can get, 500 business cards printed online for $12.
I mean, it's a great idea for people out there that want to do it. You know, I don't know if it's nationwide, but it's in our division.
You can print little messages on them. Well, that's great stuff. Susan, thank you. Thanks for the call, and thanks for the inspiration for the day.
Tom, I wanted to say happy 420.
Yeah, there you go. Have a toke tonight. I'm assuming you're talking about that rather than it being Hitler's birthday. So.
Yes. Oh no! I know that. Oh yes. No.
They're all celebrating over in the right wingosphere, but for the wrong reasons. Susan, thank you for the call. Anya in Orland Park, Illinois. Hey, Anya, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to let your callers know about a new initiative that just started called Track Ukraine.
Okay.
And basically what they do is they track different politicians to see how they stand on the issue of aid and support for Ukraine.
That's a great idea.
Like how...
Is there a website
like for how Anna Paulina Luna has brought sanctioned Russian MPs to D.C., or how AOC has voted in support of every aid package, mm-hmm. or if there are people like in Texas, Vincent Gonzalez, who has been wishy-washy on Ukraine, mm-hmm. and they're hoping to push these politicians to be more in support of helping Ukraine in the genocide that's happening in Ukraine.
Is there a website for this, Anya?
Yes, trackukraine.com. Okay. And you can be on their mailing list. It's all volunteer focused, and it's...
Oh, yeah. It looks like a great site.
Yes, it's by the activist Dylan Burns, and mm-hmm. it just started a few days ago.
Lauren Boebert stands against a free Ukraine. Wow, amazing!
Yeah,
I love it. I love it. Well done. Okay, well, thank you for the tip on that. I do appreciate it. I'm getting lost here on the website.
Slava Ukraine.
Slava Ukraine. Amen. Thank you, Anya. Great to hear from you. It's 45 minutes past the hour and a few seconds. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute. Stay tuned. It's the Tom Hartman Program, exposing the con and conservative. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Did you catch this piece in the New York Times about how Syrian billionaires are using Trump's name to get sanctions lifted? It's like everybody's in on the grift. All the rich people, anyway. And welcome back. And let's see here. Jeff in Portland. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Hey, happy Monday, Tom. Hope you had a good weekend. A lot of excellent calls today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also great to hear from Ro Khanna on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm hoping he runs for president in 28.
Oh, I think he can count
on
it.
Well, I think he's Bernie 2.0, and hopefully this time he
may be running for the Senate. Who knows? I don't know, but I can guarantee you, this is a guy who's moving up in the world.
And he's very, always a true North Star for progressivism. So yeah. He's so solid.
Yeah.
And I like that he brought up the first Gilded Age and Teddy Roosevelt tackling great wealth back in his day, first with the trust busting and then later pushing for an estate tax, the estate tax of 1916 and the capital gains tax of 1922. And Robert Reich last Wednesday wrote on his Substack that, quote, in 1910, former President Teddy Roosevelt warned that a small class of enormously wealthy and economically powerful men whose chief object is to hold and increase their power could destroy American democracy, end quote.
Wow.
And here we are again, Tom. So, you know, and it reminded me of another Teddy. I used to play this clip of Teddy Kennedy in 2007 on the Senate floor where he bellowed, when does the greed stop? Okay. And I would say we could update that message a little, expand on it, and to say, when does the greed, corruption, death, and destruction stop?
Yeah.
That's all that we're getting from this corrupt administration with the disastrous war and from Trump and his Republican Party stripping health care from millions of Americans and taking a wrecking ball to the economy. So, your thoughts, Tom, and did you see I don't. You probably didn't, but PBS NewsHour on Friday had an astonishing segment that a third of Americans are financially sacrificing to afford their health care. You know, skipping meals, borrowing money. I mean, you know, it's
a crisis.
It's not time for Medicare for All. I don't know when it is. Yeah. So, no, your thoughts.
I agree, and I think it is. We're at a crisis moment, Jeff, and hopefully our Democratic politicians will grow a spine and exploit this moment. Thank you, Jeff. Alfredo in Mountain View, California. Hey, Alfredo, what's up?
Hey, hi, Tom. I have the privilege to watch this documentary, Eyes on Fire, in which you, my friend, were on. I was surprised.
Well, thank you.
Great documentary.
Yeah,
great documentary.
I helped make that documentary, in fact.
Oh, really?
Louise and I went to Costa Rica and to Norway with the film crew, although that none of that footage made its way into the movie. But, we spent a lot of time on that movie.
That's a great one. So my comment is regarding the oil process.
Mm-hmm.
The United States has the largest oil reserves in the world.
Right. Trump has already tapped it. Trump has already tapped it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, my understanding was that they're supposed to release some of these reserves in order to ease the prices of oil here.
That's right.
And they have not done that. And I think
he has done
consumers.
That. He has done that. It's just like there's no, it's not anywhere near enough to really affect the price of oil or gasoline. And of course, a lot of the increased price of gasoline in the United States has nothing to do with the shortage of oil here. It has to do with oil companies exploiting the international crisis to price gouge, basically. Thanks, Alfredo. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. People in the Rust Belt states know all about tariffs. They know that tariffs kept jobs in the Rust Belt states for centuries, literally, that America was built on tariffs. It's one of the reasons Donald Trump got elected in 2016 was because he talked about tariffs. But for some reason right now, you know, the Harris-Walz campaign or Democrats in general are reluctant to talk about tariffs. They call them sales taxes or something like that. They really need to be a little more straightforward because people, particularly in the industrial Midwest or in the Rust Belt, as we call it now, are not dumb. You know, they know what's going on. They know where we've been and how we got here. And I think it's pretty important to be talking about tariffs and what they are, how they work, and how they can bring manufacturing back home. I wrote a piece about it for Hartman Report. It's titled Why Trump is Wrong and Alexander Hamilton Was Right About Tariffs. And I think you'll find it absolutely fascinating at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Welcome back. 52 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. Bill in Morgantown, Indiana. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom. Hope you had a nice week, nice day.
Yeah, so far so good.
I tell you what, it was funny. Today I was going to YouTube, watch your show on YouTube, because I'd rather do that than do my phone. And while I was searching for it, I happened to come across Michael Smirkanis.
Bill, I'm having a real hard time understanding you or hearing you. Is there anything you can do to fix that?
Here I am.
There you go. Now I can hear you. Okay, start over. Please.
Well, I was trying to be safe, but anyhow.
I get it.
Now, the thing I was going to say is this. He brought up something about the interview that Tom Friedman had last week. And he said it reminded him of the Democratic Party. Friedman sat there and said, in essence, that he thought that in general, what was going on in Iran was the right thing to do. And I guess particularly being Jewish, he probably has a more input to it. But then on the end of that conversation, he said, but I don't want Bibi or Trump to get a W. That is the most insane statement I've ever heard of somebody. I don't care who the president is. Even during Vietnam, before it went bad, people were still rooting for Johnson for the country. Now, is that a contradictory statement, or is it just my imagination? And you can go to YouTube and see it.
Yeah, I'd have to get a little more detail, Bill, but I'm a big fan of putting our country's interests before the interests of either political party or any politician. and frankly, sure. any other country, if that's the essence of what you're arguing.
Well, like I said, it was kind of funny because to me, and like I said, I lived in Vietnam. I'm a little bit older than you, and I know the progression of that. It wasn't until the handwriting was on the wall and the draft was in place that the public turned against Johnson or the administration.
Oh, I remember it well. I was out in the streets getting tear gassed and arrested.
Well, that's probably the time I was sitting on the couch in Knoxville watching LBJ resign all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just want to get your, because I think you're pretty fair about things like that. Well, I mean, you're fair about a lot of things. Don't agree with you all the time, but it isn't fair.
Well, I try to be. And Tom Friedman, I'll tell you, I've spent the better part of the last 20 years criticizing Thomas Friedman because he has so embraced neoliberalism. His book, The Olive Tree and the Lexus, I think was one of the most destructive things to have happened in American economic and foreign policy in decades, where he completely embraced free trade and said, this is a wonderful thing. You know, this was back during the Clinton years when there was still the fragments of a debate were still around. And so I've always referred to him as kind of a confused guy. And he's, you know, I mean, he's a billionaire. He married money, but he's a billionaire. And so he lives in that rarefied world where he's, you know, private jets and limos and everything.
Sure.
And so I my sense of it is that he's a very smart guy who's just out of touch. I don't think his being Jewish has anything to do with it.
No, probably not, because I have enough friends that are Jewish that don't like things in Israel.
Yeah.
But they...
Yeah, Netanyahu's pissed off a lot of American Jews. Not just pissed off, horrified.
Yeah.
Genuinely horrified. Yeah.
But you know what, though? He's still popular in Israel, isn't he?
He is, because, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I've worked in Israel. I helped start what is now one of the largest children's charities in the entire country. This was back in the 80s that I was there. I used to drive people all around the country. I know that country like the back of my hand. I have several good friends who still live there. And, I've been in Israel on multiple occasions when there were suicide bombings or where there were attacks on Israelis from Palestinians. I get it that a lot of these folks feel like they're under siege. And it's a siege that has just never ended. Now, I get it also, the Palestinians feel the same way. And that's a whole that's a separate conversation. But I'm trying to explain why Netanyahu's popularity went up when he talked Trump into attacking Iran. And it's because, you know, Israelis have felt, for good reason, by the way, for decades, if not the entire existence of that country, that Iran is probably the largest and most dangerous existential threat to them ever. It's like the Soviet Union was to us back in the 60s. So, Bill, I got to run, but good to hear from you. I appreciate the call. It's we're at the top of the hour. Thanks so much, or the end of the show. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag. You're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. And get your exercise, take your vitamins, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Okay, that was the Tom Hartman program for today, Monday, April 20th. Thank you so much for tuning in, hanging out with X-Ray FM this morning. Don't forget, we are here on the 11th day of our spring pledge drive. Now is a great time to call and support the station. We are an independent media platform for people in our community. And I'm thinking that it's more important than ever. And that is only possible because of the people who become members, support the station financially during these pledge drives. You know, it takes a lot to make this thing happen. None the least of things like paying rent on our building and our tower and electricity at the transmission sites and insurance and licensing fees and all sorts of stuff. If you listen to the Tom Hartman program on our archives, please know that we pay like $400 a month to make all of those archives available on our website. So there's just a lot of things that it takes to make this thing work. And your support, make sure that we can keep that available for everybody in the community. So please head on over to the website xray.fm and hit the big blue donate button. Pledge your support this morning or call the phone number 503-233-9729. It's 503-233-X-RAY. Membership starts at $10 a month. $15 a month gets you the t-shirt, which I think is a great way to support. You get to show your X-ray.